Series today, a four-week series, unlike our gospel series, which went on for months. This is 4 weeks, and it's on commitment. We talked about, when we were approaching the vote to accept the Bethany property, that there needed to be commitment from God's people here, a commitment of resources, a commitment of time. And we've created, the leadership team has created a commitment card, which you will receive on September 9th. And September 9th is our big kickoff for the fall. We're going to consecrate leaders. We're going to welcome new members. It's going to be a huge celebration Sunday. But part of that on that Sunday is also ministry fair. So, yeah, I'm forgetting something. Part of that is going to be giving you these commitment cards. And they'll be in two parts, identical, and you'll be asked several questions, which you choose the answers for those questions. You will tear off one, no names, you're not going to put your name on it. One side you'll tear off and you will leave for the leadership team to take and use as they're strategizing how we go forward in preparing for the changes ahead. The second one you will put into an envelope, which we'll provide, address it to yourself, seal it, and you'll leave that with us as well. And then at a point of time, we haven't decided when, but at a point of time, maybe 6 months later, we will mail that back to you. And rather than having to account for what you have chosen to do through accountability to someone else, it's only between you and God. And so when you receive that commitment card back, you'll be able to have a couple of reactions. It can be, oops, I haven't followed through. Please, Lord, help me. Or it may be, oh, good, I'm even doing more. Or at least I'm meeting my commitment. So that's coming. And I'm going to spend the next 4 weeks in the messages preparing you for those questions so that by the time you get the card, you will have prayed about the answers and you will understand what that question means. Today, we're going to first start with, what is commitment anyway? What does it mean to commit to something? I looked up in the dictionary, you know, one of those things you don't even use anymore. The Webster Dictionary says, an agreement or pledge to do something in the future. Online, dictionary.com, the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. And then this one, this is a new dictionary to me, but I love this. This is called the Urban Dictionary. This is what it says. Commitment is what transforms the promise into reality. It is the words that speak boldly of your intentions and the actions which speak louder than words. It is making the time when there is none, coming through time after time after time, year after year after year. Commitment is the stuff character is made of, the power to change the face of things. It is the daily triumph of integrity over skepticism. Wow. That's deep. Two commitments we're going to talk about today. The first two that you will see on the card. The first thing is this, a prayer commitment. This is what you will see. I commit to pray daily for the people, the mission, and the leadership of Mission Covenant Church, and you will answer yes or no. Yes or no. It's the only question, it was pointed out to me this week, the only question on the commitment card that doesn't give you a choice of levels of commitment. You're either going to pray daily or you're not. Okay, you get to choose your answer. Just as in Bless, for those of you that are new, we went through a series that we're going to revisit over and over. It's an evangelism series. Bless, the first B, who remembers, what does it stand for? Begin with prayer. Okay? I won't go through the rest of it. We've got it downstairs if you'd like to see it. We begin with prayer on the commitment card. So questions people have had for me in ministry, and some of you are going to go, really? People ask this? But yeah, they do. And you might learn something, even if you've been around a long time. What is prayer? What is prayer? We talk about prayer in the church all the time. We pray in the church. But when we're left to do it all by ourselves, what does it entail? We prayed the Lord's Prayer this morning. Jesus' followers said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he gave them a model of prayer. That's a whole series in and of itself. The Lord's Prayer. In a message several months ago, I talked about what's called the ACTS Prayer, A-C-T-S. That prayer is adoration, adoring God, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, that great church word, which simply means requests, making requests to God. That's a form of prayer. And that can be a little bit intimidating sometimes, don't you think? Let me tell you what the Greek word for prayer means. Because when we go to the Greek, sometimes it's more confusing, but in this case, it's perfect. The Greek word for prayer simply means this: words addressed to God. Period. If you are talking to God, you are praying. Period. It's not as hard as we make it sometimes. So we ask on the commitment card that you pray daily. Well, what if you'd rather the choice had been, I'll pray once a week or once a month? Why did we do that? Why did we simply go yes or no? Well, we try to be scripturally based. We try hard. That's very covenant. It's also correct. In the book of Psalms, we start to learn about prayer. There are 34 references in the book of Psalms for praying and prayer. Listen to this one, just one verse. Psalm 88:13. But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. So when do we pray? In the morning. Okay, what time of day did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and did he tell his disciples to be praying? What time of day was that? It was in the evening. It was following the Last Supper, right? That they go to Gethsemane and then he's arrested. Right? That was during the night. So Jesus gives us the example, and he's telling his disciples to pray in the evening. So we've got the morning and we've got the evening, twice a day. Good Old Testament book, Nehemiah. Chapter 1, 4. Nehemiah says, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Oh, so we should pray for a few days, right? Scripture's there to teach. Then we get 1 Thessalonians. Oh, 1 Thessalonians. That's a whole, one day I'm going to preach through that book. Chapter 5, verse 17, two words. Pray continually. Some translations, three words. Pray without ceasing. Oh, my. We're supposed to pray always. How in the world do you pray all the time? You've got other things to do. How do you pray all the time? Well, it's a constant connection that you have with God throughout the day. Always aware that He is there. Always aware. Listening for him. In everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think, there's that desire to be connected. That's what it is to pray continually. So if we're being true to Scripture, we are praying throughout the day. So is it too much to ask that a few seconds of that, you're lifting up the church and its leadership and its mission? How much does that take to do that? So it's like, well, what if I forget? What if I forget? What if I'm too busy and I'm not really doing a great job of being connected to God during the day? How can I do this? Well, I've got a couple of hints for you. One thing I do for myself, and this is embarrassing because I'm a pastor, I shouldn't need it. But for different things that I know I should do, like read my Bible, believe it or not, I have an alarm, a message on my phone, time for your daily Bible reading. To remind me, don't get too busy. Stop and read. Nothing wrong with putting a little alarm on your phone, or 3 or 4 or 10 or 20, to say, pray for the church. If you're not into doing that with the phone, there's this little thing called post-it notes. Right? All over the house. Pray for the church. And be reminded. It's simple. It's simple. You're going to have a choice. It's up to you. Whether you're going to commit to pray daily for the church or not. Okay? Got that one? Second one. Worship commitment. Now see, this is one I want to preach to the people who aren't here. But everybody needs to hear it. Me too. Here's the question that you will have. How often do you commit to attend worship at Mission Covenant Church in the coming year? That's the question. You have three choices. You don't have a choice of never. Not there. Okay? Just so you know. One time a month, 2 times a month, 3 or more times per month. Okay? You choose. So let me share some passages with you about worshiping together. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. We do it once a week. Every day. That was the early church. That was their level of commitment. And this is an interesting thing because as consumers in the United States of America, it's all about us. It's all about us. When we come to worship, it's all about us, what we're going to get out of it. Right? You want to hear a sermon that's going to be meaningful. You want music that's music you like. This is the consumer mentality that has invaded the church. And it's a problem. Let me give you a little different perspective from Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, Paul writes, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. He's talking about spiritual gifts. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. We each bring something to the worship service. It's about bringing something, not getting something. We come together so that the church may be built up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, now you, people, he's talking to the Corinthian church, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. I have a question for you. Have you ever hurt your toe? Have you ever, you know how you run into the leg of a table or a chair and you get that little toe? Ow. How much did that little toe matter? Because then it hurts and your foot hurts and
And then your ankle hurts, and it messes up your knee, and it messes up your hip, and then your back starts hurting. The little toe matters in the body. You matter in the body of Christ. And when you're not here, when someone is missing, think of someone who's not here today. It doesn't matter what their reason is, they're not here today. Don't you miss having them when they're not here? I do. When I look at it, I go, ooh, so-and-so's not here today. They're probably doing something just fine, but I miss them. We miss them in the body of believers. So this message is titled Sacrifice of Praise, and I have a question. Is it a sacrifice sometimes to come to church? Yeah. It's a sacrifice. Football season's coming. One thing that's good about living on the East Coast is the games don't happen during the worship service usually. They did in Seattle. They did. 1 o'clock game on TV here, 10 o'clock in the morning. Right in the middle of the worship service. And you would not believe how many people just won't look you in the eye when they're not coming because the Seahawks are playing. Not watching them this year. They're going to be bad. I already know it. Might have to like the Patriots. So how about sports practices and games? How about sleeping in? That feels really good. How about you got to get things done and you haven't had enough time in the week? Or maybe you just don't want to. You want to do something else. We sacrifice those things to come together to worship our holy God. Our verse today, Romans 12:1. My translation is a little different than Betty's. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our bodies, all we are, full and total commitment to God. That's what Paul says. I came across something written by a man who's vice president of ministry at the C.S. Lewis Institute. If you don't know who C.S. Lewis is, he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, but he also wrote a lot of wonderful books on believing. And he says this, what does it mean to present your body as a living sacrifice to God? The imagery is drawn from the practice of animal sacrifice, where the central idea is that of a worshiper presenting an animal to God as a sacrifice to be slaughtered. Once presented, the animal no longer belonged to the worshiper, but entirely and completely to God. Just as a sacrificial animal belonged wholly and irrevocably to God, Paul says true worshipers of God are to present and devote their bodies wholly and irrevocably to God as a living sacrifice. By this he means not just our bodies, but devoting our entire selves to God. Are we good sacrifice? Are we a good sacrifice? Some of you older timers like me know of somebody named D.L. Moody. He was a great revivalist in the earlier 20th century. One of his best quotes, you ready? The problem with a living sacrifice is it crawls off the altar. It keeps crawling off the altar. When it's dead, not going to happen. But a living sacrifice, it's funny, but it's true. It's true. We don't want to stay on the altar. We don't want to do that. That's a sacrifice. And it's hard. Committing to attend worship, that's a pretty easy question, isn't it? You either say, yes, I'll do it, or no, I won't. I'll do it once a month. But I'm going to speak for just a couple minutes on a deeper issue here. This one isn't on the card, but I can't preach about worship without talking about this. Can we actually commit to worship God when we're here? We're already here. Are we actually worshiping God? Are we all about honoring Him? Are we all about building one another up? So, warning signs that our heart needs work. Our thoughts are critical. These are just some topics. You wouldn't believe the things that a pastor hears. You wouldn't believe it. But I'm going to share some of them with you that are related to worship. These are things said to me by people here and by people elsewhere where I have been. I don't like the music, Pastor. I don't like the music. Communion is not done the way I want it. Someone sat in my seat. You laugh. That one was here. It's too hot. Too cold. We'd like too cold right now. The flow is interrupted by technical glitches. We're mad at somebody else who's here. See that person? I'm just mad. We judge how someone looks or talks. And that's just the ones people have brought up to me. My thoughts? Just a question. If those are things that relate to you, what is your focus? Is it on God and on worship or on yourself? I ask myself those questions too. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Contrary to popular belief, worship is not about being fed. I hate that phrase. It just didn't feed me. What? What? You think that's Google it. Google it. That is a phrase people say all the time. I'm just not being fed. It's pretty pitiful. Worship, according to our passage, is about sacrifice. It's about sacrifice, not about consumerism. Do we want the worship service to be the best it can be? Absolutely. We want to honor God with the best we have to give. So I have a few things to say. Okay, you're going to let me have my moment here. Music, if you have a problem with the music, join the praise team.
Yes.
Amen. I knew you'd like that. Okay, if you have a problem with other elements in the worship service, join the worship team. We have a team that meets every month. And we talk about, well, every other month now, we talk about the worship service. Come and be a part of it. AV? Technical glitches? Talk to George. He would love to have some people to train and mentor. We ask so much of John and George. Don't complain about the glitches. Get up there and fix them. Too hot? Use a fan. Too cold? Get a sweater. There are blankets back there. The rest of it? I call your attention to Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. What would worship look like if everybody here fell over each other trying to help the others worship and experience the presence of God? What would that be like? We would not be able to hold the people. How important would it then be to be here every week? You wouldn't want to miss it. You wouldn't want to miss it. Romans 12:1. Therefore, and I'm going to add some things to the Mary translation. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, your whole selves, your energy, your focus, your gifts and talents, your love and care for others as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us. Convict each of us where we need to be convicted. Create in us a desire, a compulsion, Lord, to worship. That it truly is all about you. Lord, speak to each one of us as we pray in the weeks ahead about the commitment you're calling us to make. May it be the one you are asking. And then, Lord, may we live into it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.